All right. So hello, hello, everybody. This is Jacob Patrick, and I am with Kiefer Daddy from Posey Mom. And we have some questions that have been sent in from Posey Mom customers, and we're going to get some answers to these questions. So let's get started. The first question I have here, it says, is there such a thing as over-fermenting water kefir? So this person says they forgot about their batch for a couple of extra days. I guess it was fermenting a little longer than it should be. Is it still safe to drink?
Well, first of all, I probably wouldn't drink it once it's been sitting there for that many days, because it'll be really sour, and it won't have a pleasant taste at all. And just keep remembering that there is such a thing as over-fermenting, because that's why you need to change the water every 48 hours, because these, especially in water kefir, they live off the sugar in the sugar water. So if you let them go longer, they will go hungry and could eventually die. A couple of extra days, I really don't think they will die on you in that period of time. I would strain them, throw the liquid away, rinse them, and reuse them. I think that would be the best thing. But the answer to your main question, over-fermenting, yes, it can be done.
Okay, cool. So they probably don't want to drink that water now.
I wouldn't.
Because it'll be too, what is it, like too acidic or too sour? Or?
Oh, it'll stink. It'll stink like rotten eggs. It just had really unpleasant smell because there's no sugar left in it. Now, I will say this, though. Now, you can put it, and we may deal with this later on, but one's asked how to store them. You can put them in strong sugar water and put them in the refrigerator. Now, depending on the amount of sugar you put in there, I've left mine up to a month with a lid on it, and it does just fine. Now, they will continue to ferment even in the refrigerator, but at a slower rate. But the extra sugar gives them a chance to survive. So we'll kind of answer two questions with one on that.
All right. Very good. Very good. So let's say this person did leave out their kefir for a couple of days extra. Is there anything special they need to do with the next batch, or just follow the Posey Mom instructions for that next batch?
Yeah, just follow the next instructions. And you know what? Some like leaving it later, longer, and if it doesn't have an unpleasant smell, I guess depending on the type of time of year it is, the temperature you keep your house. Obviously, if you have a cooler temperature, it will take longer to ferment, but you might try it. But other than that, no, just rinse them and put them back on to set.
Okay, very good. All right, cool. Let's see here. Let's go to another question. This is from Sarah. She says that when they got their kefir grains, I guess milk kefir grains, it seemed like it was mostly just liquid. Everything was in liquid form. It says it looks like the milk and not the grain. So what can be done about that?
Yeah, it's common because when we send the grains off, we measure them, and then we put in quite a bit, actually, of whole milk to keep them healthy during the trip. But now remember, milk kefir doesn't need to set that long. So the liquid you get may look like it's all liquid, but it's not. We consider that to be a starter of your milk kefir with the grains inside. So if you put it back in your milk, it should do just fine. But don't throw the liquid away, because there are grains in it, but you may not see them visibly. But once you put them in and you restrain them, you should be able to see it then.
Okay, good. And my understanding is even if it looks like more milk than grains, that milk's been fermenting in the package, right, all along. So there's a lot of culture in that milk now, too.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, that's a good question, Jacob, because, you know, technically, you can make fermented milk. You can have the kefir milk. You could take like a quarter cup of that, just the milk itself, and put it in milk and let it set overnight, and you'll have kefir. So it's not like you need the grains all the time to make it, because even the kefirized milk, it's kind of like yogurt. You can use the milk like a starter and actually go more. Now, I've done that as a test, and I've made it up to 4 or 5 times, and it's done just fine. I didn't go past 4 or 5 times because I feel like it'd probably start losing its bacteria. because it's not growing from kefir grains themselves, but it is possible to do at least one or two that way, and it'll still be just fine. That makes sense.
Okay, yeah, sure. So that's the idea, right? That culture is not just in the grains, but it's in the milk that's being fermented by the grains.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's the whole point. That's what you drink.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
All right, great. So, yeah, I understand why that would be a misconception, because the pictures that we show, you know, on Amazon or on the website, well, we show the grains when they've been strained, and it's just the grains. And then they get this package, and it looks like more milk. And they're like, what happened? Did my grains melt? And no, that's not exactly what happened.
Yeah, and sometimes the same thing is true even in the water kefir. I'm not sure if this is asking a later question, but we make sure we put a little sugar water in with our water kefir grains to keep those healthy. So the same would be true. Just dump the whole package in there, and it'd be like a starter of water kefir, and it would help to kefirize the next set of grains.
Okay, very good. Cool. Okay, so let's see. Our next question comes from Rebecca. She says, I have these really large glass jars. They're like 1 to 2 gallons each, that each come with a lid. Can I use these lids in lieu of a paper towel or coffee filter and a rubber band? Yeah, so that's the question. So basically, can she use sealable jars with the lids they come with, I guess, for her kombucha?
No, because it needs to breathe. Remember now, these are living creatures, and they have to be able to breathe. And it doesn't matter, Jacob, it doesn't matter what you grow as far as the probiotics. I can put kombucha tea in a sealed container, and it won't form a SCOBY. But I can take the same container, put a breathable top on it, and it'll form a SCOBY. The same thing is true with water kefir. We found that out. It has to be able to breathe. It'll still ferment, but they won't grow. The milk kefir has to be able to breathe, or it won't grow. It may ferment just fine, but it won't grow. So I'm assuming with this question, it was probably kombucha. It really does need to be able to breathe in order to ferment and to grow another SCOBY.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, when you do a second fermentation, then you might seal the liquid, whatever it is, kombucha or kefir, in a jar or a bottle. But that's the second fermentation. With this, the first fermentation, you want that culture to be able to breathe in order for it to grow and be healthy, right?
Correct. And remember, in the second fermentation, you've already taken your SCOBY or your kombucha or your milk kefir out, so you don't have to worry about that because you've already started another one. So that's absolutely correct.
Yeah, very good. So sure, to answer that question, you might use sealable lids, but you're only going to get one batch. You're not going to get reusable batches out of that because you'll be hurting the culture over time.
Yeah, it won't grow. It may ferment, but it won't grow.
All right, very good. Okay, so our next question comes from Denise. And she says, I'm vegan and wanting to buy kefir grains that were grown or cultured on a non-dairy source. And she asks, what were your water kefir grains started on? So I think this is kind of based on a misconception a lot of people have. I think a lot of people think water kefir grains started as milk kefir grains and then were converted over to water kefir. Do you think that's what she might be thinking with that question?
It does make me wonder because, frankly, water kefir is always vegan because all water kefir is grown from are the grains and sugar water with some mineral added. And now, unless that's what they're thinking of, I don't know of any. Well, now I'm gonna go back on that because I can understand maybe in this area because one of the mineral areas you can use is it's recommended you can use a cleansed eggshell. So being a vegan, you may not want to use that. I don't use that. I use purely molasses and water and brown sugar for mine because of the mineral aspects. But, yeah, you know, some do wonder whether they can switch back and forth on them. You can't. My understanding is the water kefir grains were first fermented from the root of a certain bush in Mexico. where the milk kefir grains originally are one of the original sources is somewhere in the Russian mountains. So they're really yeah. two different grains. They're grown different. They have even have some different probiotics in them. So there is a difference in them.
Yeah, there you go. They're completely different animals, so to speak. They just both happen to have the name kefir today, but they're not really all that related. All right, good, good. And she said, she asks another question. This is interesting. What fermented product is the most beneficial for gut health? That is between like kefir or kombucha or cultured foods, for example. So...
That is a good question. Many people do wonder that. I will say the ones I sell, you have kefir, you have kombucha, you have milk kefir. Now, water kefir and milk kefir are two different products. And then you have kombucha. And now I also are featuring a black garlic. Now, black garlic also being a fermented food. So technically, any fermented food has health benefits, and particularly for the gut. Has some probiotics. Now, it just depends on your taste. See, for example, kombucha has a vinegary taste. And so if you like that flavor, that's what you need it for. Water kefir has a sour sweet taste at the same time to me. Milk kefir has kind of a taste more like buttermilk. Of course, all of these can be flavored to your taste also, too, as with the second fermentation. But now here's what my research has pulled up. Kombucha has probably the least of the three as far as probiotics. However, it's really pronounced mostly for those that are athletes or for added energy. I suppose mostly because it's made with the black tea. Because you go to health food stores, you go to athlete stores, they sell this kombucha like crazy. So people tank up on that in order to get the most out of their exercises. But water kefir has less, or let me put it this way, milk kefir has just a few more bacteria, supposedly, than water kefir. I think the basis for milk kefir is like 28 bacteria. Water kefir is like 21 or 22. Now, I don't believe I had this question down for today, Jacob. But people ask me quite often, what is the bacteria? What are our degrees of bacteria? What kind are in there? Friends, I haven't found a place to find out. I've actually sent my product to a laboratory here in the United States, one recommended by Amazon. They tell me it was the kombucha I sent. They said it's of highest quality, but they say there is no way of telling what bacteria is in it, not in their laboratory. So, you know, exactly what bacteria is in there, I don't have a way of finding out. But I will tell you this, they're very healthy. And as far as the range, you have your kombucha, water kefir, and then your milk kefir as far as probiotics in that order.
Yeah, I think I've read that before too, that milk kefir has the most strains.
Yeah. But and I'm going to put this plug in right here, Jacob, if you don't mind. You know, you can, it's true, you can go to the store and you can buy milk kefir. Okay, that's true. However, you got to remember, friends, that whenever you buy your your milk kefir in a store, it has to be processed. That's a heating process. In any heating process, you lose bacteria. So supposedly, now all I can go by is the research. I don't have a way of doing it. According to the research, when you buy one from the store, it has approximately 8 types of bacteria. Of course, then your milk kefir done live has like 28 different bacteria. So obviously, it would be more beneficial for your gut if you were to make it rather than buying it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It gets pasteurized in order to be sold, right?
Yes, and you lose bacteria when that happens. And I'm supposing the same thing happens with kombucha. Now, I don't sell a commercial kombucha, so I don't really know how they process it, and it may not lose some of it. I'm not sure. But the same thing might be true with that.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's why people want to grow this, even though you can go down and get it, you know, pre-flavored in a bottle. Excuse me, right. In a bottle. All right, great. Rebecca, or I'm sorry, Denise also asks, will the grain survive shipment to Hawaii?
Yes. Yeah, that was a good question. And I can see why they'd be worried. But I send them to Hawaii at least once a week. I send them to Puerto Rico regularly, many times a week. I've sent them to Alaska. I've sent them to, actually, what I've done is I've sent them to our military. The military. Whenever you send to the military, they do an APO, and that means I send it to a certain shipping point, and then they ship it to them overseas. So wherever they're getting it, it's working great for them. So these are pretty hardy critters. You know, the kombucha, the milk kefir, the water kefir. It's a little bit more delicate because it only takes like 12 hours to ferment, but I have sent them off similarly to Hawaii and the places like this without any problem.
All right, great. We have a new question from, I'm not sure who. It says, can oolong tea be used to make this? I'm assuming kombucha.
Yeah. Honestly, I don't know. I don't know much about oolong tea. One thing I will say as far as the teas that can be used is you can use any tea. However, it cannot have oils. Some of your variety teas anymore have oils in them, and they seem to damage the kombucha. So you can use any tea as long as it doesn't have oils in it.
Oh, that's great. And something we've suggested before when it comes to experimenting maybe with different teas or different sugar types and things like that is to maybe start with something more standard, because what will happen is eventually your kombucha SCOBY can split into two.
Yeah.
And, you know, after a few batches, and now you'll have two SCOBYs, and maybe your second SCOBY you can try with oolong tea. If it hurts the SCOBY, you know, irreversibly, you're not out of luck. You still have a second, you know, your original SCOBY or a second SCOBY that can stay healthy. So that might be a good idea to experiment. Don't experiment with the first thing you order.
Yeah, and that's a good suggestion, Jacob, because when we say it has oils in it and it may damage it, it doesn't mean that it won't turn out just fine for a time or two. What it does mean is it won't keep your SCOBY healthy. The same thing is true regarding, let's say, you have making coconut milk kefir, water kefir. No, coconut milk kefir. Okay. Yeah. Now, can you use that? Yes, absolutely. You can use coconut milk. But you got to remember, though, that milk kefir is fed from the lactose. Coconut milk does not have lactose. So while it may work fine for a time or two, we recommend going back, as you said, going back to the natural milk and let it feed a time or two to get healthy again, and then do your coconut kefir. Or you could just make regular kefir for several days, get enough to break off, and then make yours. And then when that dies, you may have enough to make another. But where a lot of things will work, it may not stay healthy. So that's why in our original recipes, our original instructions, that needs to be followed every so often, because we know what keeps it healthy for us. And there are variations. Many do other things. We're not saying they're wrong. We just use this as a standard for us. But there are alternatives, and some of these alternatives will work for a while, and then they won't work for a while. So we just have to be aware of that.
Yeah, sure. Okay, good. Also, we have a question. Does water kefir taste similar to kombucha? Water kefir seems much easier to make than kombucha. So how are they similar in taste, or how are they different?
Well, they're similar in that they both have a sour taste because it is a fermentation. They're similar in they still have a sweet taste, because even though it does eat up the sugar, it doesn't still take care of all the taste, the sweetness. So while it may be, it's eating up all the sugar, the glucose, for example, in the water kefir, it hasn't eaten up all the sweet. So it'll be sour and sweet at the same time. But now kombucha also has a vinegary taste. It's very acidic. In fact, that's one thing that some can't get into it because their body doesn't have to handle the acidity well. But now I will say this, though, Jacob, in both cases, if you put it in the refrigerator after it's done and you let it sit for several days, it does tend to mellow that taste and make it much more palatable for me. Or you can even do a second fermentation. Boy, kombucha, Jacob, kombucha is really good when you add fruit to it. In fact, it has a very fruity flavor. I enjoy doing it and eating the fruit later. For me, water kefir, I enjoy putting fresh apples in it and then leaving it for a day and then drinking it. It just has such an effervescent apple flavor in it. So I really enjoy that.
Oh, okay, cool.
But to answer the most questions, no, the taste is quite different. You might like one or the other, or you might like both of them. We have some that buy both of them to start both of them. So it's just a different type of flavor.
Yeah, cool. I think water kefir, especially when it's been second fermented, tastes kind of like, almost like beer. It has has kind of a sweet, almost beer-like taste to it.
Yeah,
whereas kombucha is still kind of vinegary.
Yeah, but if you put, and I didn't mention it, but if you put the fruit in it, it'll have kind of a wine flavor. So I guess that's a good way of describing it. Kefir's more like beer, kombucha like wine. And we might mention this too, listeners, because I did have a lady have a concern, is it does have a small degree of alcohol in it. It's like any fermented product. It's going to ferment it into a small degree of alcohol. Now, depending on how sensitive you are to that, or like one lady, I have many people that their kids drink it. They actually make soda drinks out of it. They flavor it into make cream soda and things like this for the kids, and they love it. It's a good alternative for them. I've had some lately that have said they don't want their kids to drink alcohol at all. Well, that's something you have to keep in mind when you do it. You have to decide for yourself. You might recommend what you just said, ferment it and see what you think of it. And if you let it set to a certain degree, it may taste more. But then I found that the longer you set it, the milder the taste gets too. But again, there's no way of telling how much alcohol is truly in it. But remember, these are fermented foods. Any fermented food is your ferment. So it's going to have that flavor to it.
Yeah, I think, what I've seen, it's been just tiny amounts of alcohol. It kind of capped out at, not even half of what like a light beer would have. So it's certainly not, an alcoholic drink. I can't imagine, somebody considering the same as beer or wine.
You know what we can do, Jacob, is we can set this question on the alcohol content for another podcast, and I'll do some research on it. I'll find out there are places on the internet you can find the answer to these questions, and I'll do the research for them. I'll let my fingers do the walking, and we'll see what we can find out, and we'll share it with our listeners.
All right, cool. We'll bookmark that, and we'll get back to it. Now, this listener also made an interesting point. I thought it was pretty cool. She said that water kefir seems much easier to make than kombucha. That seems to me that would be true, wouldn't it? Water kefir is easier to make?
In that you just, well, no, because, one of the main differences for me is water kefir has to be done every 2 days. Kombucha takes a week. But if you think about the steps are almost the same, just in greater quantity for the kombucha. You still have to get your water, which may be boiling or buying the water. You still have to dissolve sugar in it. One of the differences in kombucha is you have to put a tea bag in it, let it steep. But then once you put it in, you just let them set. So one takes 2 days, one takes 7 days. Sometimes I don't want to have to deal with it every 2 days. So sometimes I take care of the kombucha myself. If I was just making it for myself, I would worry more about that, because that way you don't have to worry about it every 2 days. But other than that, it's just up to your preference.
That is true. I didn't think about that. Water kefir might seem simpler, but when you realize you're going to be doing it every two days,
and the steps,
whereas kombucha is once a week, every 7 to 10 days.
And there's almost the same amount of steps involved.
Yeah. Yeah. I think someone might consider water kefir maybe to be the gateway probiotic culture of the three, because it's the mildest in flavor too, right? So it's not just the easiness, but it is pretty easy if you're willing to take care of it every 2 days, and it's also kind of the mildest flavor. So if you're looking to dip your toe, so to speak, you might start with water kefir because it is relatively easy and it's got a gentler flavor, and then work your way over to others to see if you like those
as well.
Yeah,
and I can't overstress the possibility of second fermentation either, Jacob, because eating this, especially water kefir, boiled water kefir, but water kefir can take on so many different flavors depending on what you put with it. We on our website, we have different recipes. You know, you put ginger, you can put you can put different syrups, different flavors, many fresh fruits in it, and combination of fresh fruits with herbs. In fact, we get emails all the time with different things that people have put in. Some I don't think I've ever heard of, but they just swear it just tastes so great. So that may be one benefit of doing it every 2 days, is you get to test out different recipes and see what you like with it. And of course, Jacob, anytime a customer finds a recipe that they really enjoy, we'd be glad to hear about it. We might even post it on our website.
Yeah, absolutely. They can put that on. They can email us or put that on the contact form on our website, posymom.com. And sure, we can absolutely highlight any favorite recipes from customers. So let's get one more for this episode. This is kind of a funny thing that happened, I think, to one of our customers. They bought a batch of water kefir grains, and I'm supposing by accident they used a quarter cup of salt instead of sugar. And she says, after the 48-hour period, the water tasted so salty, I transferred my grains now into sugar water. My question is if I can still use the grains again or if they're already useless.
Well, first of all, what do you think about that? I emailed back, well, I've never heard of that. But quite frankly, we've heard so many things. I've had ones that have put, I had a friend, I gave her some water kefir grains, and I had more than one actually, but one in particular that put their grains, because we recommend that in the wintertime, you can put them in the oven under the oven light to, keep them warm. Well, some forget they're in the oven and they turn their oven on. Well, this one dear friend of ours, she said, I think they're dead. I cooked them. I said, don't throw them away yet. Well, let's see what happens. And you know what, Jacob, that kickstarted them pretty good. She said they grew really good for the next time or two. But I said, well, let's don't try that again. So my point of that is don't just throw them away. If you've made a mistake, if you did something wrong, if you let them set 2 extra days, if you put salt in them, don't throw them away. Just rinse them off, see how they'll work, and see if they'll work out that way, because they are pretty hardy grains. It's hard to kill them. Of course, you can kill them, but you got two choices. You need to be patient with them, or you can start over. I prefer to be patient. I hate killing them because these are living organisms, and we just don't really want to kill them.
Yeah. Don't be hasty about getting rid of them and ordering more. I mean, as much as, you know, we love return business, but not that way.
Yeah.
So definitely make sure that they are totally toast before giving up.
Yeah, and I only told the story about the oven so that this dear customer that put them in salt, they don't feel like they're the only ones that have done that. We hear so many different stories, and you know, so we're kind of like that commercial with Allstate. We've heard it all.
Yeah, definitely. And they are very hardy. And it was just like, imagine you bought a plant from the store, right? And you left it out in the sun too long, or you forgot to water it, or you watered it too much, and it looks like it's on a downhill slide. Well, that doesn't mean that it's gone for good. We've seen, my wife and I have seen plants come back practically from death, it looked like, just because we realized what the problem was and started treating them differently. So
yeah, my wife has a green thumb like that, so she does really well. And we'll deal with some of this in later podcasts, but you know, there's so many, sometimes you have to change things up. You know, we're finding out that we have to alter our water. We have to alter the minerals we put in. We have to alter the amount of sugar because they like, some of them like, some like variety and some like stability. So maybe we can put that down for a future podcast too, if it's your question.
Yeah, we'll have to talk more about that because that is an interesting topic, sort of the experimentation we've done over the years at scale, because we're talking about not just a single SCOBY, but hundreds of SCOBYs a week.
Yeah.
And not just a single, you know, a cup or quarter cup of water kefir grains, but multiple cups, you know, pounds and pounds of water kefir grains growing at once.
Yeah.
And so we've had a lot of opportunity to experiment, and we keep experimenting. And yeah, that's definitely something we can talk about.
Absolutely.
All right, so I want to save. We have some more questions here, but I want to save them for future podcasts because I know we're already over 30 minutes. So I don't want to take up too much in the first one. Leave something for next time. I did want to kind of explain something to the listeners, though. That probably I could have done at the beginning, but that's no big deal. And that is, you know, who we are that we're talking and why I'm asking questions and you're giving the answers and kind of a change that we're making in the message, you know, of Posy Mom here. And that is, so I'm Jacob and I am your son. Yeah. So people know that. And because we got a lot of confusion, I still get comments sometimes like on YouTube videos because there's my face on YouTube videos and my voice in some of the animated videos and you know, I write the blog posts. And so people ask, well, who is Posy Mom? Is that your wife?
Right.
And no, actually, she's my mom. So you're Kefir Daddy and we're calling her Kombucha Mama. And she might be coming on in a future episode as well. I'm hoping to convince her to do that.
Right. Very good.
Yeah. And so kind of the idea of this podcast here and this little show, it'll be in audio form and video form on YouTube and Facebook and other places, wherever you happen to be getting this right now as a listener. The idea here is, you know, when I would answer questions in front of the camera, well, I would basically have to get the answers from you and then parrot those questions back or those answers back to customers. And well, as you know, a copy of a copy is never going to be, it's going to be degraded. It's never going to be perfect. So I think this is much better. You have been in the trenches for years now. You personally and, you know, and mom and other members of the family of the company have been growing kombucha and kefir, water kefir, milk kefir for years, thousands and thousands of SCOBYs and cups of grains you guys have produced over years. You have these answers. I don't. I can have the questions. You have the answers. So that's kind of the premise here. We wanted to explain that because I think this is going to be way more beneficial. Look at all the value we're able to bring here.
Yeah,
and amazing answers.
And you know, that was one thing when you brought this up as a suggestion. I thought it was a great idea because see, these are actual questions I've gotten the last week, and obviously, I know the answer, but I'm not a great typist, so I don't write out everything I know about that one subject. I give them the answer they need, and they're free to ask another question. But here, whenever we ask a question, and I gave the answer, I was able to expand on it a little bit, give more outside information that you needed, and that way you're getting a good overall, and not just a question, the answer to that one question, but sometimes related questions that go along with it. Because like I say, we've gotten literally hundreds or thousands of questions over the last 10 years we've been doing this. And you know, that's something that we like to share with our listeners.
Yeah, absolutely. And we have lots of really hot tips that we'll want to share in the future. We have other things coming out on the Posy Mom Facebook page and the YouTube channel aside from this show. We'll be announcing some of those things next week. It's going to be really exciting. So I guess that's it. Anything else you wanted to add to in this first episode?
Nope. I've enjoyed it, and I hope the friends listen.
All right, very good. So if you guys have any questions, if they have questions, what's the best way for them to post a question so that we could possibly answer it on next week's show or in a near episode?
I guess there's a form on PosyMom.com, our website, that you can contact us, or I have it PosyMom@Hotmail.com. I check that every day. And of course, the website, I believe, goes to PosyMom@hotmail.com. So if they have any questions, they can just email me directly. I'll answer them, and then I'll post them for next week.
All right. Awesome. So that's PosyMom.com or also PosyMom@hotmail.com if they want to go direct through email. Either way, using the contact form or the email, they both go to the same email anyway. So it's just two ways to do that. And we'll answer you and we'll get it on an episode. All right. So thank you very much, guys. We'll catch you next time. And thanks for listening.